and thank you for joining us once again on the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast. This is episode 5. It's Friday. And you know what that means. It's time for hockey once again. Michael Gross here, joined by Zach Case, Thomas Bubba Turgeon, and our special guest this week, sports director at WTOP 10, Brian Rudman. Brian, welcome.
Ah, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. Excited to talk some Oswego Lakers hockey here.
A little sports board action for you on the
podcast. Exactly. Sports board. WTOP 10 sports board. This is, see, we love to be diverse here, right? We can dip in a little bit in WTOP 10 here at the Oswegonian. We can write articles every week. Still got to get you on writing articles, Turgeon.
Yeah. I still owe Lad one.
That's true. That's true.
He's saving that one in the bank.
You've been here for 4 years. You haven't written an article.
No, I've written for the Oswegonian. I wrote for a couple of years. Right. And then last year when I took over as sports director, I took a step back. Lad made a package for me at TOP. And so I said, I owe you an article.
Yep. Do you know how long was the package? Because then that corresponds with how many
1 minute equals how many words? I'm going to figure that out.
1 minute equals 500 words. All right. So if it was a minute and a half, you have to write 750.
All right. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm just waiting for the day when I'm actually writing like a 10-page paper for school and Lad goes, Hey, Brian.
Brian.
Short a story.
Here's an extra one, by the way.
All right.
Your interview's in 20.
Well, we'll get into this upcoming weekend in just a moment. I got to tell you guys, it's you want it, you got it. This is the weekend. Well, if you know the movie reference, you want it, you got it, Toyota. You know that movie reference, props to you. But yeah, I know you guys, it's funny because I'm only 21 years old and I know that movie reference. People our age will never understand that.
Yeah.
Uncultured.
Yeah, no.
You know it, Bubba?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So we're uncultured. That's where you're going with.
Yes. Okay. I'll tell you guys later. Yeah, you guys are very uncultured. It's a Billy Crystal movie.
All right.
Let's talk about last week. There were three games. Some of us did a bit better than others in terms of predictions, me being others.
Clean sweep. Woo! Love it.
This is where we're at right now. Zach and Thomas, both at 7-4. I am 6-5. I thought we'd take care of business. But it's okay. It's all right. It's a new day. It's a new week, and we will have a guest picker, which is Brian Rudman. But why don't we go ahead and we'll recap last week. Guys, we're still stuck in the first period. Like, that's how it seems. We can't get out of the first period. We can't do anything in the first period. I don't know if they can even skate anymore in the first period. It's tough to watch, and they know that too. So that's the number one thing they're trying to correct. They still got the win against Cortland. For the Teal game, 2-1 win on Friday, November 12th. It was an emotional night, and I'm glad they ended up getting the victory.
Yeah, so I'll take the men's recap. Turgeon, you can take the women's. You've been doing a good job with those. So over on men's hockey, the 2-1 win against Cortland on Teal night. We talked about those 20 minutes of action in the first period, and let's talk about it. Cortland scored 11 minutes and 18 seconds in the first period, but Oswego outshot them 15-6. Stat line here for you. Oswego outscored 8-0 in the first period through their first five games of the 2021-22 season. Connor Sleeth, a player that I'm starting to watch and starting to be a playmaker on this roster, doing wonders, really scoring his first goal 7 minutes and 23 seconds into the second period with a snipe assist from Broman, and they are tied after the second heading into the third period. Troy Robillard breaking the ice in the third with a snipe from the point. Lots of traffic in that. We talked about it on the broadcast, and it was a crucial goal. The game-winning goal. Obviously, Kozakowski in net for the Lakers doing a great job, and I kind of want to rotate back to those 20 minutes like we talked about. And it wasn't just the Lakers that struggled in the first 20 minutes. What about the fans, too? We talk about Mary's Minute. We talk about the broadcast and how we were going to stay silent. And the environment was not the best.
Ooh, yeah, I'm gonna have
to. Sorry, I had to open the door on that one.
No, you had to.
It just had to.
You had to address the elephant in the room.
Yeah, it's
big. It's sitting right by Bubba right now.
It's rather disappointing. But I was streaming the game from Max Zeal Gym for the basketball tournament, and I was looking forward to seeing that first minute where the student section, the fans overall were making a lot of noise, but the student section seemed very, very quiet and it was rather disappointing. So I'm hoping coming into this weekend against one of the top teams in the nation, what one could say a rivalry that's been brewing over the last few years can bring the noise in a way. So last weekend, I think fans overall, they need to step up their game.
Yeah, I'll say this. Mary's minute in the third period was pretty good. Yeah. I think people started to understand what was going on because there was a video played on the video board. Athletics announced that it was Mary's minute in the third period and kind of got everyone up and going, and that really got the crowd energized. That was probably the best – that was the most energetic period of hockey. We saw the Lakers play. That was the most energy we saw from the fans all night. That third period was probably the best overall. And, you know – Mike can confirm this in our pre-production meeting at WTOP. I told our crew, I said, Mary's minute gets loud. It gets rowdy. It's, you know, everyone's up and yelling and it means a lot to the players. And then, you know, it was kind of just like the fans didn't really even know what was going on. Like we didn't even get the full Let's Go Lakers chant. They only got through two of them.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. I mean, it stinks because we have experienced, Brian.
Right,
and I,
yeah.
Like our freshman year. That was one of the loudest buildings I've ever been in for Mary's yeah. Minute, our freshman year, because that was so recent too.
Yeah.
And so they got around to it eventually.
Yeah.
I think it has something to do with the fact that in the first period of hockey, the team itself yeah. hasn't played well. And I think the fans recognize that, they understand that, but they should be able to take it upon themselves and say, oh, they haven't played well. Well, maybe we're a part of that reason. Maybe we're a factor in that, and we need to get louder. And obviously, for Mary's minute, you're going to get loud. But it shouldn't just be also for Mary's minute.
Right.
The fans play such a big role. I mean, we talk about this the last 3.5 years. We have one of the best fan bases for a college hockey team, not just Division III, just in general.
Right. So he goes the one of the most impactful environments to come play in as a road team.
Exactly.
In Division III.
Exactly. It's so difficult to play here on the road because of the fans. And if the fans are a non-factor, the team, through the transitive property, of course, blah, blah, is going to be a non-factor.
Yeah. So when was your freshman year? 2017, 2018?
Yeah. 18,
2019.
2018,
19. We were
19. Yeah. That was Buff State they played.
Yeah.
Buff yeah. State. They they wound up falling behind, but
I'm looking
up, you know, it was very similar to the last time Geneseo came here. And Mike, you'll remember this, where the Lakers came storming back to tie the game at 3. They wound up losing it late. I believe that one
bad
was
penalty.
Off face off win.
It was that bad penalty call in the third period on Lewis.
No, that was the Geneseo game. I'm talking about Buff State.
Oh, okay.
Buff State, mine and Mike's freshman year in February of 19. It was a face-off win and just a slap shot right off the face-off that beat Richey.
It was
a 6-5. Oh, yeah. It was a 6-5 game. But like Mike said, Mary's minute and the Teal game atmosphere that day was one of the loudest that I've heard it in my now, you know, 3.5 years here in Oswego.
Yeah, and then our freshman year, Bubba, Carson Place comes in for
Carlton
Place. Jeez, they come in for a preseason game and they get smoked by Oswego, 8-1 finish, and it was packed and it was the first game of the season. I think a lot of the fans were excited to be there. And now you take 2 years off due to the COVID and you come back and there's a couple generations of students that haven't been around for that. Right,
there are two classes who haven't seen Mary's Minute.
And they haven't really been involved in a whole hockey season where they see the atmosphere. They haven't been to Whiteout.
It was also the first Suniac game that we had. They don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, they don't understand Suniac hockey maybe. As
yeah. Well. And I remember freshman year, Whiteout was very early. And that environment kind of set the tone for the rest of the season.
Yep.
Especially when they came back and played Geneseo second semester. But I think once they get the fans involved, it'll be a little different of a situation. And obviously this hockey team just has to be better mentally prepared to go ahead of this first period. And that comes down to in the locker room, that focus intensity that they need.
Well, the Lakers have been outscored 8-0 in the first period in their first 5 games. That's got to change this weekend. We talked to Josh LeBlanc and a bunch of the guys. They all said that they need to play angry, right? They need to come out and they need to play angry. And if that's the way that they need to do it, if that's the way it's going to work for them, then by all means, go out there and play angry. But I don't want that to translate to going to the box more, because they have done a much better job since the first three games of staying out of the box.
They've been much more disciplined.
Much more disciplined.
Yeah, they only went to the box one time.
Which is the biggest key, especially this weekend when you're playing two top teams in the nation, especially Geneseo with one of the best power plays in Division III.
Yep.
I mean, watching that tape from last weekend from Geneseo's Plattsburgh-Potsdam games, rolling through that tape, I watched it this week. That power play is electric. Their special teams is incredible.
Yeah.
On both sides, but the Geneseo power play is absolutely electric.
Geneseo and Brockport with the 1-3 best power plays. And Cortland with the second, and Cortland's only goal scored on Oswego State was on the power play.
Now let's also acknowledge this. It wasn't a terrible PK on the goal given up.
Not at all.
On Friday. It wasn't even 2 weeks ago when they played Plattsburgh, it wasn't a terrible PK. It's just little things, right? It's the little things that aren't bouncing the Lakers' way right now, especially in the first period. But at the end of the day, something's got to change, because you can't be falling behind to Brockport or Geneseo or anyone in the Suniac. You can't be chasing the game and playing from behind in every game you play.
The other thing to bring up is they outshot the team 38-22. And it was only a two-goal game, or, 2-1 game. So, at the end of the day, those shots are good, but you need to get better quality of shots, better high-percentage shots, and take advantage of when you're in that slot, when you're in the high crease, or wherever you are, back door on a rush, you need to make sure you're bearing down and getting those shots on
net. Like Brian said, right, like the penalty kill wasn't all that bad, but the penalty kill isn't the only issue.
Oh, no. Right? Power play goes 0-3. Yeah. It's special teams as a whole, really.
Yeah, and that was, we were talking to, when we talked to Coach Gosick this week, right, Mike, you asked him top three things that need to change, and his number two answer, I think, number two on the list was special teams as a whole.
It's simple math, right? It's not rocket science, all right? Maybe to some people, like me, my freshman year when didn't know any hockey. Now I'm
somewhat better at it, somewhat.
No, it's not rocket science, right? The numbers add up. When you don't play well on special teams, you're not going to win hockey games.
Perfect example, momentum. You talk about killing off a penalty. You know how huge that is for a team? Killing it off, you get your guy back, and then you're rolling through your next shift because you're just buzzing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 3 years ago, when Oswego tied Geneseo here in the wheelhouse, Lakers killed off a 5-on-3 power play in the second period. And I mean, they got a round of applause coming off the ice, and they were feeling great. They went up and they played a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about, you were right. You said something that was exactly correct. It was going to be a low scoring affair
and a one goal game,
which was contrary to what Case and I said.
Bubba, I'm proud of you. Just want to say that.
Low scoring and a one goal game. I'm taking that with high praise right
Bubba
now, considering we take the cake with the men's game. But you talk about special teams. Oswego is currently second to last on penalty kill with 72%.
In the Suniac.
Brutal.
In the Suniac. Yeah. And as Zach said, if you don't know much about hockey, I'll just give you a heads up right now. That is bad.
And just one thing.
That is horrible.
Just one thing to point out. Guess who's in seventh and ninth? Morrisville and Potsdam, teams that don't even have a win in the conference yet.
Yeah, not teams you want to be associated
with.
Yeah.
No, not if you're Oswego State, who has a pedigree that's
right.
You know,
the expectation is there. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but power play, same thing. You go 2 for 16, 12.5%. Brockport going 8 for 30, and Geneseo going for 10 for 25. That's intimidating.
I mean, we know that both Geneseo and Brockport are going to be factors on the special teams, right? That's fine. But they also put a lot of pucks on net, which is something that we do, that the Lakers do, right? They do put a lot of shots on net. They just don't put them away. None of them hit the twine, and that's the issue, all right? When you outshoot a team 38-22 and you only win 2-1, you can't, like, that's that, – I mean, that really can't happen.
Right, and I go back to in that Cortland game, the first period, the first power play, right? One of the best chances they had all night was Broman sitting right in front of the net, puck on his stick, and it just didn't go. And you know that those are the types of plays that need to be made if you're going to win games.
I wonder if they're worried about things, like if they're playing scared.
I think at this point in the first period, it's kind of just like a weight off their shoulder, getting the first goal in the first period.
Yeah, move on to the second.
It just it's got to be weighing on them at this point that, you know.
Do you think it'll be floodgates if they score the very first?
Maybe. They haven't played with a lead all season. The only time we've seen them play with a lead this group is the
third period of Portland.
Yeah.
And Elmira, didn't they have a lead in the
No, they tied it. No, they came back and tied it.
Oh, yeah.
And Potsdam, they played with the lead. But in the first period, they haven't scored first and played with a lead the whole game. The one game we've seen them do that was the exhibition against Canton when they won 9-1. It's an exhibition, but I'm just saying, we've seen them when they can play out in front and they don't have to chase the game. It's just much, they look much more relaxed.
And to sum it up, you're just saying that they've been playing behind for a majority of their time. One last point. I want to go back to the Suniak thing, if Bubba can move it back over. goals per game, Geneseo with 5.6, Brockport 4.8. Where's Oswego? 6. Tied for 6 with 2.2.
To be fair, though, Geneseo put 8 on Potsdam and Brockport put 7 on Plattsburgh.
How many did we put it against Potsdam?
2.
Okay.
Okay, fine. You win this matchup, Case.
I'm not saying I'm winning anything. I'm just putting everyone in perspective.
Bubba picked the game correctly.
I got the game correctly. All right, so we're going to move on to the other side of things. Women's recap. This was eventful, to say the least. Our picks were very in the gutter this weekend with the women's side, but the first game against Cortland, a loss 2-1. It's been a broken record this season. Oswego in the first period struggling to find a lead, but that changed. They got the first goal of the game, and they had the lead after the first. The first time all season that they had a lead after the first period of play against Cortland.
Whoosh.
And then, as Mike said, they blew it.
Whoosh,
right out the door.
I'm glad Bubba got that. I didn't get it.
No, Brian and I are looking at each other like, what's going on right now?
What sounds are coming from Mike right now? This is concerning.
Morgan Shines got the goal with the redirection for the only goal for the Lakers from Tagart and Haas. You see Tagart recording another point, repeating that offensive defenseman mentality. But this is the one red flag, no pun intended, due to Cortland's colors being red and white. You outshoot a team 18-6 in the first period. You only score one goal. This has been Oswego saying all year long. It's the same thing against Potsdam. You put 56 shots on goal, and you only score 4, and then they only shoot 10 times, and they score 4, and they end up tying a game against Potsdam, where they should have honestly beat them by a lot. You tie this game to Potsdam and you lose to Cortland, a 2-1 game. It's pretty straightforward. Oswego goes 1-for-2 on the power play, and 2-for-3 on the PK. It wasn't great. They obviously capitalized on the power play, which is essential in going into later in the season. I'd say average at most for what entitled them this weekend. Teach out led the team in shots with 5. But she didn't record a single point, which, if I'm Oswego, that's an issue. We saw in the Plattsburgh game, which we'll hint at later on in the show, Teachout was really couldn't get any quality opportunities, and that's an issue. You got to find that secondary source of scoring. And Mark Digby also has touched on how they may be recording a lot of shots, but what is defined as quality opportunities out of those shots? That's one of the things.
Yeah, I mean, you can put 18 shots up, but like you said, are they quality, right? Are they in good situations? Could you have made another pass to get a better shot, a more high percentage shot on net, right? Maybe they're just coming in, stepping right over the blue line and ripping them, right? But that doesn't always win you hockey games. And that doesn't win you hockey games. You see it here.
Yeah, that's huge.
Right. It's, are you making the goalie work? Is there traffic in front of the net? Are you making them move, you know, post to post? Are you really testing this goalie, or are you just throwing pucks at the net and hoping that you get the right bounce?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think rebounds plays a big part of that. You shoot high, you go to high glove, it's going to be a catch save every time, then a whistle. You shoot low off the pads, there's going to be rebounds. There's going to be pucks moving around. There's more quality opportunities, and that's zone time, and that's more offense. So I think that's one of the biggest takeaways there with those shots. One thing to talk about, you talk about Teachout leading the team, six points, 3 goals, 3 assists. And you work down this lineup, and you see plenty of players with numbers up here. Looks like there's only, I would say, maybe half the roster right now hasn't registered a point. But when the points come, they're coming from players like Teachout, like Taggart, like Grugan, Shines, players that we talk about all the time. And now it's starting to feel like we need that second layer, especially when you're playing against Plattsburgh and Cortland.
Yeah, that's definitely so. But also, Cortland was, I'd say, one of the first times that we actually got to see what Oswego's goaltending brought to the table. As we've talked about in previous games prior, the teams they're playing against are only getting, what, 7 shots, 10 shots? Nothing, 12, yeah. 12 at an all-time high. It's nothing really you can just look at and say, okay, our goaltending is pretty solid. Bryn White was in the lineup with 21 saves on the day, but also at the end of the day, Oswego outshoots them 43-23 in total, and you lose a game 2-1. So almost doubling your shots against an opposing team, but that's got to be a win.
Yeah, it's really becoming a narrative that, you know, this team has been outshooting their opponents, but they just haven't been getting the results. Right? Between the Potsdam game and the Cortland game alone, those are two games that, you know, in that locker room, they felt like they should have won that game. Yeah. Both of those games.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the other game?
Bring in the big dog.
Bring in the big dog.
Listen, you want to talk about it, you want it. You got it. You got it.
And they had it.
To be fair, bring in the big dog. The number one team in the nation and nationally reputable Plattsburgh State Cardinals made their way to the wheelhouse and did not disappoint and showed why they're the number one team in the nation with a 5-0 win over the Oswego State Lakers in the 11th straight win versus Oswego State. Overall, I think Oswego didn't play horrible. I thought they were very competitive with them throughout the game, regardless of the score. I think just really the goals that Plattsburgh scored were more unfortunate bounces, some transitions. But when you're playing a good team like that, that's going to be the turning points in the game. You have a few bounces that go your way, you're going to capitalize with a team like Plattsburgh. Nicole Unsworth with the first two goals of the game. Hebert with the first goal, that was, I know we all saw, it was a five-hole shot, a little slower shot that I'm sure Hebert wishes she had back. But the second goal, the defense really didn't help much. And Oswego really need to, in a way, commit to team defense.
Yeah, that hasn't – I mean, well, that's been an issue, right? Team defense has been an issue. And also, nothing – I don't want to say nothing, but the defense hasn't been as productive starting the breakout. Right, they're getting broken down in the neutral zone, which is why you find teams on breakaways, which is why you find the puck in the back of the net, because they're chasing and they're stepping. I think part of it is that you just need to sit back a little bit more and be more patient. Right, patience is always good in hockey, because when you're patient, you let the game come to you, and you can read it a lot better, and you can, you know, pass out of the back a lot better. I think that's probably, I don't want to say that's the number one issue right now, because there are some other things, but that's got to get taken care of sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, this past weekend as a whole was really the first time we saw this team get tested in a big way in terms of the puck possession and winning the game in the neutral zone, right? Because even against Potsdam, they pretty much dominated the game and outskated them. Then you go into this Plattsburgh game and you face the number one team in the land, and you need to be on top of your game. You need to be feeling, you need to be riding the high confidence going in. And they probably weren't feeling that great after the way the Cortland game went. And then, you know, you get the unlucky bounce in the first period. And talking to Coach Digby this week, he talked about, yeah, they didn't play great in the first period. They played fairly well in the second and third. Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. You have to play 60 minutes of hockey. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. If you can only skate for 40, there's 20 minutes for another team that wants it more than you to go out there and score a goal, two goals, three goals, and win the game. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's one of those things Brian touched up on. Second and third period, Oswego really actually was competitive with this team and outshooting them in both periods, 14-6 in the second, 11-4 in the third, and 14-6 in the second. So in reality, Plattsburgh had the lead, obviously, 3-0 at the end of the second, 2-0 at the end of the first. But Oswego wasn't counting themselves out. You could see that their offense was still trying to get something going. But regardless, the Plattsburgh goaltender, I can't think of her name at the moment, she came in and she was dominant. She was able to pretty much snag every puck that came at her.
Yeah, Ashley Davis had a phenomenal week. She repeated as the UHL goalie of the week. And that's part of a big reason why Plattsburgh's so good is their goalie play is phenomenal and has been for years. It, you know, at the end of the day, the stat line may not show it. The scoreboard certainly didn't show it. But you saw something from this Lakers squad in the Plattsburgh game, at least, that they can keep up with the big dogs. And we've seen them win against the big dogs when they beat Adrian. So this is a team where even though the results didn't go their way this weekend, there's still some positives you can take away.
No pun intended, considering that Adrian's last name is the Bulldogs. But, yeah, so we go Bulldogs. So Bulldogs.
Oh, we did talk about Bulldogs before.
We did talk about Bulldogs before.
The New York Bulldogs. That's what we're going to name our Chell team.
New York Bulldogs. New Chell team coming at you. But, yeah, so special teams, always a factor, whatever hockey team you look at. Men's, it's no different with the women's. They go 0-for-4 on the power play, and I mentioned how Teachout was not really able to get some quality scoring opportunities in the Cortland game. It was the same thing for Plattsburgh. We saw a majority of the time, anytime the puck got to her on her stick, especially on the power play, you saw two Cardinals really jamming that passing lane, that shooting lane. So she really couldn't get anything going with this power play. And then going 1-for-2 on the penalty kill, it's 50%, but only two opportunities. So in reality, Plattsburgh capitalizes on one, but Oswego also allowed a shorthanded goal in that span. So that's also an issue to take into consideration.
They really got to, like, heading into this weekend, this women's hockey team, it's going to be a statement game kind of. Potsdam comes to town. They haven't won a game in the conference in a while. And now looking at it, you're kind of mid-pack in the championship race, and you want to make it into those playoffs. And this is kind of the time where you need to take advantage. And honestly, the sitting at 1-2-1 behind Morrisville, Ken, who they were going to play this weekend due to COVID, they won't. But it's just another example where this team, like, now that Potsdam's coming, it's not Cortland, it's not Plattsburgh, but it's Potsdam, and they need to take advantage because, unfortunately, you're going to start falling behind, and it's going to be too hard to catch up.
How many goals do they need to score against Potsdam to reaffirm themselves as – maybe a powerhouse?
I think you need to rephrase that. I think it's how goals. Many goals against?
No. Okay. I'm goals against. And I'll use a different goal.
Goal differential.
Goal differential.
Look at that.
Well, but Potsdam can score 6 goals. You can score 10. I don't know. That's why I don't like goal differential.
Yeah. Goals against. Yeah.
I'd rather something else.
And honestly, looking at it with Potsdam right now, and how it's going to be, I think goaltending is going to be a big situation. But we saw with that Potsdam game, Thomas and I had the call for that one. So many transition goals and a lot of goals that could have been stopped on the rush, could have been stopped due to that defense with that team play. And it wasn't really that zone time. So now heading into this weekend, you're looking at a completely different animal in terms of that game. So for Oswego, you really just have to work hard and know that also playing for Teddy Bear Toss too. Not to take away the preview, but another reason to really come out and have a day on Saturday.
Toss the Bears, the team, and the stuffed animal, of course. But, yeah, I think Oswego, if they're playing against Potsdam this weekend, they need to win. I'd say you got to be dominant. You got to win by 4 goals, and you got to limit Potsdam. I'd say to 1, if not, I'm going to say the word, and I might jinx it, but shutout. Yeah. You got to – it's – gotta happen.
Two goals against is
too much, in my opinion, against a team like Potsdam. And with 10 shots on goal last game, like, there's no reason you should be allowing 4 goals on 10 shots.
Oh, I agree.
But
good question, guys. Serious question, if I may. Do you like news?
Yeah.
It's not bad. Yeah, I like it.
You like news?
Yeah.
What about paper? How are we feeling about paper?
I'm a big paper guy.
You're a big paper
huge guy. Paper guy.
I like electronic personally, but paper's not a bad option.
But you're electronic. I mean, I thought you'd be
a little in between.
Little in different. Okay. I mean, that's fine. How about reading? What are our thoughts and opinions on reading? Because me, I love reading. Guys?
Depends what the subject is, I think.
Yeah, I'm a big sports section guy.
I like to read.
Not really looking at everything
else.
What do
you like to read? You like to read the news?
Yeah.
Well, do I have news for you? You can check out the Oswegonian right now to get the lowdown on what's happening around town. If you're like Zach, You can grab a copy today at many buildings on campus, like Penfield Library, Shinneman, and the Murano Campus Center, or you can even grab a copy around town during your daily doings, you know, such as Sub Shop, Fajita Grill, and C's Farm Market and Beverage Center. Or if you're like Brian, right, you prefer it online, and that's okay. Then you can check it out online for free at oswegonian.com. So you can grab a copy today or visit oswegonian.com to read the independent student newspaper of Oswego State.
Very excited to read the paper.
That was good. Well done.
Thank you. They get better and better every week.
They do.
And Bubba didn't laugh today.
I didn't laugh during his ad read. That's the impressive.
Attaboy, Bubba.
That's the impressive.
Way to take it serious this week, guy.
I know. Big serious guy.
Do you want to laugh now?
Big step.
No, I'm good.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Someone bring a bell. Ding ding.
Let's get ready to rumble. All right, we're gonna start it off with the men's team here in the look ahead. They are going to the Tuttle North Ice Arena Friday night, tonight in Brockport. It looks to really just upset that Brockport Golden Eagle crowd. Brockport is technically number 16th in terms of votes in the USCHO poll, and they are number 2. Yes, you heard it. Number 2 in the pairwise. That's above Geneseo in the pairwise. Geneseo is number 1 in the USCHO poll. They're only number, was it 7, right?
Who?
Geneseo.
I believe it's 7.
It's either 7 or 8. Either way, that just goes to show you how strong of a team Brockport really is. Geneseo may be number 1, but the real test is that first 20 minutes, that first minute when you step out onto the ice at Tuttle North Arena against Brockport.
Let's talk about these Golden Eagles coming in from the 585, heading there. Oh, Brockport is off. The 585 is undefeated. It's and they're actually undefeated at 5-0 to start the season, a dominant in the SUNYAC so far with victories against Potsdam, a 3-0 victory, Plattsburgh 7-3, holy goal scoring. Last matchup 2 years ago against the Golden Eagles with Oswego, a 2-2 tie. I think that was on the road in Brockport.
It was on the road. Yep.
In the Tuttle. And then last victory for Brockport versus Oswego was back in the 2014 season. And at Oswego, a 3-2 win there. And that was their only – isn't that Brockport's only win against the Lakers?
I thought they
were 1-26.
That's according to Brockport Athletics.
Very limited.
So we got different numbers. Different numbers.
Athletics has deeper records.
And we'll go back over to Brockport. And Bubba, you put the question in there: is the Brockport team legit? Opponents besides Plattsburgh really not top dogs? I'll read them off: Kings, Newman, Morrisville, Potsdam. Morrisville, Potsdam being in the lower section of the SUNYAC. Kings and Newman kind of being lower ranks in all of D3, for example. They average 4.8 goals per game, which is scary good. And 8 of their 24 goals were on the power play. So look out for those special teams. And I think special teams as a whole this weekend, especially against Geneseo, is going to be big. I really think this is going to be a statement game for the Lakers tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking back at the history between these two teams. Brockport only 6 wins all time against Oswego State. One of them we mentioned in 2014, a 3-2 win. One prior to that, all the way back in 2003 with the same exact score of 3-2, also in Oswego. So
I was 2 years old.
Yeah, that's nice. But yeah, this is a legit team, I think, in a way. But I think really this weekend will determine if Brockport is one of the top dogs in the SUNYAC. We mentioned their opponents prior to this weekend aren't really as competitive. You talk about Potsdam and Morrisville, Kings, Newman. Plattsburgh was really, in a way, what we could say is one of the more competitive teams in the SUNYAC, if not nationally. But yeah, you said 4.8 goals per game. That's really good. Eight of their 24 as a whole on the power play, so that's also good. Number 91, their captain, Ryan Romeo. Offensive defenseman, he's got 9 points in 5 games. 2 goals, 7 assists. So you get 7 apples in 5 games. That's pretty good for a defenseman.
Yeah, I mean, this Brockport team is scary good, and they're scary good for the first time in a while. This is their best start since, what was it, the 80s?
Something like that.
I mean, this team has gotten off to a phenomenal start. Now, their level of competition, maybe not as top tier as Oswego, right? If you put Kings and Newman on the Oswego schedule instead of
Hobart
and Elmira, yeah, we're maybe looking at this entirely differently in terms of how this season has gone,
yeah,
if we just think about that. But I think it's fair to say that Oswego is going to be Brockport's biggest test so far this year, because they got Plattsburgh the day after they played Geneseo in a tight game. If I'm being honest, considering Plattsburgh has played everyone tight and then got blown out by Brockport the day after Geneseo, that may have played a factor into that one in terms of Plattsburgh coming out with not as much energy and playing a little flat. I think Oswego is their biggest test so far, especially because Steven Kozakowski's played phenomenally in net.
Yeah,
in recent weeks.
Another thing to note is that Brockport's going to go to Cortland tomorrow night to finish off the weekend. And you talk about all those games. I think if Oswego wins here, you're looking at Brockport possibly going 0-2 this weekend. I think Cortland's a good team. I think it's a team that might struggle tonight against Geneseo, but will be hungry against Brockport.
Yeah, Cortland's a good team, but especially if Oswego wins tonight, I have to imagine that Brockport's going to come out a little desperate and a little angry tomorrow night and get the
you don't I just you haven't seen how Brockport takes a loss yet.
No, you haven't.
That's one thing I think you have to take in the key.
We haven't seen how either of these teams take a loss yet.
Both teams starting the season at 5-0. But yeah, you mentioned the best start since the actual year of 1980 is the Brockport Golden Eagles going into this weekend with two key matchups in the Suniac against Cortland and Oswego State. Cortland on the road in the Alumni Arena in Cortland, New York, and then obviously at Tuttle North. But we're going to move to the one that we've been marked on our calendars for the last couple months, the Suniac Championship of 2019 rematch. The Geneseo Ice Knights return to the wheelhouse as the number one team in the nation. What I could say is upset alert and a question mark. We saw Hobart, one of the nationally ranked teams. I want to say they were four going into two weekends ago. They were upset by Cortland. So can Oswego really do the same with Geneseo this week? That's my question.
I mean, I think it's possible. You've seen every time in the last few years that Geneseo has come to town, it's been a tight game, right? A tie 3 years ago, and then 2 years ago, it was a 5-3 loss, but it was tied with less than two minutes to play.
And there was an empty net.
The fifth goal was an empty netter. The game winner was with less than 2 minutes to play, right? Oswego has played this team tight. Also, this is the one team in the Suniac that this current group of upperclassmen has never beaten. They've fallen to them in two straight Suniac championships. That's not going unforgotten. They know that it's Geneseo. They know that this is a big game. Listen, Geneseo is a tough opponent, but this certainly, you know, this will be a tight game. I expect it to be a tight game, especially if Oswego stays disciplined as they have been.
Yeah, Geneseo comes in the match of 5-0 at the wheelhouse, and they do play Cortland tonight in the IRA. And Oswego has not beaten the Knights overall or at home since the 17-18 season, a 4-2 win. But let's talk about those matchups. Geneseo claiming the last four, but they're high-scoring games, 4.97 goals per game. We know their offense. We know their special teams. It's going to be really tight overall with the scoring, because you think Oswego would come out and play some high-caliber offense, but it's really going to see the test of how Kozakowski can do against this offense.
Yeah, Geneseo's never really been that big size-wise. They've had some big guys, but they've never really been but they're fast.
They're fast.
What Brian's going to say.
They brought in some transfers, too.
Yeah, I know. And so the one thing Geneseo knows how to do, which is something that Oswego just hasn't figured out yet, is they don't want to move the puck. It doesn't matter where you are on the ice. They know how to move the puck, right? It can be north and south. It can be east and west. It can be diagonal. It doesn't matter how they do it. They can get it done, all right? And they're probably the best team in the country at doing so. What does this defense lack for Oswego? The ability to track the puck. And that's what scares me. That's what scares me the most, because if they can't track the puck in our zone, and that goes for the forwards is too, not just the defense, it's going to look like a 5-on-5 power play for most of the game if they can't do it. The other thing is, like Brian said, they are fast, right? You know, we talked with the women about the women's team, about how they have to be more disciplined. Saturday's game is going to have to be a damn well disciplined game.
Right. Especially because we've seen what happens when they commit a lot of penalties against Geneseo.
It doesn't go well.
We don't like to talk about that game.
We don't mention that game.
No. But yeah, what Mike mentioned, between how fast Geneseo is and how well they move the puck, that's really what's scary, especially on the power play. Kaz has to be quick between the pipes. He's got to move from side to side quickly. He's got to, you know, he's got to be on his A game this weekend. Because, you know, watching the film on that Geneseo power play, they'll move the puck all over the ice. They're going to get the goalie moving, and they are relentless when they finally do take their shot. They get a slew of shots just on goal, and they make the goalie work.
I want to say they're averaging like 35 shots per game. Stand by on that one. But, yeah, Geneseo, definitely a team in a way that's been dominant over the last few years. But overall, this is a game that Oswego has been looking forward to for months.
Yeah, they've been looking forward to this one for a while. And, you know, to piggyback on your point in terms of shots, Geneseo averages 37.2 shots per game. In the conference, they're averaging 39.3, right? And you think about that, that's also including a game against a Plattsburgh team that's pretty big and pretty darn good defensively, right? And always has been, and always has played in those slow, grinded-out games. Mm-hmm. And Geneseo still put up a fair number of shots against the Cardinals. This one, I expect to be high-scoring. We've seen high-scoring games between these two teams in the past. This is it. You know, this is it. 2 weeks ago, I said to you guys, I said, this team, they've got 2 weeks to get to where they need to be, right? That after when they came back from the North Country trip, they said they got one game to really get to where they need to be before they face Brockport and Geneseo. And this is it. This weekend, right, could turn the tide on the season. This weekend 2 years ago is what turned the tide on the season. Put the season on its head 2 years ago, where the Lakers were undefeated, beat Brockport, lost 9-1 to Geneseo, and kind of went into a world
spiral.
Yeah, this weekend has the potential to turn the season on its head.
You go 1-1 this weekend, that's a success.
I agree.
It depends on how it goes.
Yeah.
You can go 1-1 this weekend, but if it's a 9-1 loss on Saturday, then it's not a good weekend.
Yeah,
I agree.
If you're competitive, then I would say I
know we're being tight here, right? Slim pickings, two goals. If you do end up losing Saturday, which I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case,
mm-hmm.
but
it's not guaranteed. It'll be close.
Yeah.
But I'd say anything more than two goals.
The end goal right here is we know how good Geneseo is. We know they're ranked number one in the nation. But the goal is to see Geneseo three times a year.
Yeah,
two times in the regular season, somewhere in the postseason. At the end of the day, if you drop the first one, you're building for the second and third.
Right.
The thing that we have to keep in mind is that you can't skip ahead to Saturday.
No, you can't. Especially this year.
Yeah. But Brockport's not a bad team.
Right.
We have seen bad Brockport teams. There's a history of Oswego giving it to Brockport.
Right.
They are 95-6-7 against Brockport.
Then really, and honestly, this weekend is the toughest weekend in terms of Suniac play. The Rochester swing is the hardest swing of the season.
I agree.
Yeah.
Hands
especially
down.
Second semester when you go to Geneseo.
Right.
That's going to be even harder.
Brockport at home.
Yep.
On senior night.
Yep.
And then Geneseo.
Yep.
On the road the next night.
Senior night, it's going to be a lot of hype. There's going to be a lot of people involved, and there's going to be that extra intensity. But now going to Geneseo,
right?
They're going to have a full arena. Hopefully, the stands will be fixed.
I got
by
450
then.
Student tickets.
Yeah, so
today's game.
That
women's game that day.
The Geneseo we have
when we go to Geneseo. That's a
what's TOP do with that day?
That's a Saturday.
We have something, I believe. There is a home game for Oswego Athletics to a certain extent. I forget which sport plays that day, Believe it or not, folks, I don't have all four winter sports schedules memorized.
Oh, well he is the sports director. You would hope he would
have. I have them in a document that I can reference.
I don't think anybody has them memorized. But
no, but especially because we talk about this every year when this team winds up playing, when this team goes on the Rochester.
The women's team's in Morrisville on that Saturday.
Is that the 5th of February?
Yes.
Oh, we're fine.
Women's basketball at home.
Yeah.
And men's basketball at
home. Yeah, so we have a
basketball. That's 2 and 4. That's 2 o'clock. And
you can
4
make
o'clock.
It. You can make it to Geneseo by the end of the first.
But yeah, by the end of the first. The one thing
that we talked about.
Well, at this rate, you won't be seeing anything in the first 20 minutes.
That's a cheap shot. That is a cheap shot. That is.
I'm sorry. Hopefully, it's fixed by then.
Let's finish up on men's
real quick. We talk about this every year when they have a Rochester swing. When you talk about Geneseo on Saturday. Because it's always Geneseo on Saturday. We can't overlook Brockport. And they usually don't, but we've seen them play Brockport teams that haven't been as good. This is really the first time where we can say, this Brockport team is really legit. If you overlook them, you'll be down 3-0 going into the locker room for the first time after 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So they got to play 120 minutes of really good hockey this weekend in order to get the results they want.
Yeah, absolutely. But one of the things that I wanted to take a look at was 2 years ago, the guys' names that rang in a majority of our heads from Geneseo were guys like Keenan, Romano, and Empey. Mm-hmm. All three of them graduated, and Aaron McKay was in goal. We always tried to say that he wasn't good, but he was legit.
He was so good.
He was legit.
Yep.
But all of them are gone, and we like to say how Mark Digby went to work. Chris Schultz, the head coach of Geneseo, went to work because this team, after 2 years, they're still not slowing down. They're still the top of the Sunyak currently. So it's going to be a big test this weekend.
Top of the nation.
Top of the nation, too. How are you? But...
All right. Now, you get a second chance for the women's team. Obviously – well, maybe it's not obvious to some people. There is no game tonight. The game against Canton was canceled due to COVID-19, not on the Lakers end.
Then all of athletics.
It's all of Canton athletics. They were shut down until the 20th, right?
Yeah, till tomorrow night.
Technically, which doesn't make any sense to me, but we're not going into politics. What I'm saying is
– I think it's their Thanksgiving break. I think that's why.
Okay, so then I got
the week off.
That would make sense. Okay.
Well, it was more just the worry of COVID in general, because I guess there's a lot of COVID involved in up in Canton or in the athletics, so that was the worry.
No, what we're saying is that now that they got the Thanksgiving break,
Went right over my head, guys.
Six of one, half a dozen. All right.
No, just went flying by there.
But you get the Bears for the second time, and this time it's worth double because it's the Teddy Bear Toss.
Toss the Bears times
two. Okay. So
you're gonna toss.
So now you have a second chance here, right? A little under 2 weeks since their last game. They haven't really had they haven't really had a ton of success. Just Potsdam coming into here. But I gotta tell you, if you outshoot a team again by 46 shots and you don't win the second time, there are serious character issues and questions that need to be answered.
Yeah, absolutely. Their team defense was, I wouldn't say it's an issue, but the fact that Potsdam was able to capitalize on the opportunities they had, that's rather impressive. But you got to look at both ends. Oswego, you outshoot them by 46. You got to win. That's pretty straightforward. But it's interesting to note both teams haven't really had a matchup, but coming into this weekend, Potsdam hasn't played since the Oswego tie 2 weekends ago. They won in a 10-0 exhibition versus Paul Smith. So in a way, you're coming in somewhat behind the eight ball, being used to a 10-0 win against a team prior, whereas Oswego, you're coming in against Cortland and Plattsburgh from the prior weekend.
Yeah, and like you were saying, Bubba, I really think, and it comes down to how you shoot and how you score this weekend with a good goaltender in net for Potsdam. And Oswego has to maintain that rush play that Potsdam has that was dangerous a couple weekends ago.
Yeah, it's one of the things that you gotta take note of. Ellie Serflo will probably get the start again for the Bears.
Yes, she's going to be a
6'2" goaltender, made 52 saves in that game a little under 2 weeks ago. Oswego trailed 2-0 early against the Bears in the first period last matchup. I want to say it ended up 2-2 at the end of the first. But yeah, you got to toss the Bears this weekend in more ways than one with the Teddy Bear Toss and a key matchup against Potsdam going into Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, this is a big momentum game and redemption for two reasons, right, for this team. One, we talked about at the tie. Second, the Teddy Bear Toss. Last Teddy Bear Toss, they didn't score. Teddy Bears went flying after the game. It was, what was it, 2-0 loss to Amherst? Yeah, and then, you know, it was just tough. And we talked to the team this week, and, you know, Case, you were there when we did the interviews, you know.
They want
to
score bad.
They want to score bad early. They want to get out ahead. You know, they were like, you know, they said to us, there's, you know, you want to deny the pressure, but they're definitely feeling it. They want to get this out of the way and kind of a load off their shoulders. Kind of like how the men's team has to be feeling about scoring a first period goal and playing from ahead. The women's team wants to get the Teddy Bears flying early and just get on to playing hockey.
We know they can score.
Right.
Trust me, we know they can score. King's College told us that they can score. But it's not about scoring. It's about scoring during Teddy Bear Toss.
Yeah.
The extra pressure. Very important. I won't take a tie here. I certainly won't take a loss.
No.
It has to be a win.
We gotta do some predictions.
Let's do some predictions.
Here we go. Segue.
Let's do some predictions.
Here we go.
Should we have our guest picker go first?
Yeah, Brian. You're
I have to go first.
Yeah. No, it's fine. We won't have you go first. I'll go first. I'll get it out of the way. Yeah. I had a bad week last week. I was overly optimistic. I think the guys will go 1-1, and I think the women's team will win. So
who's the loss against Geneseo? Okay.
I want to have confidence in this team. It's so difficult against the Geneseo team that they just haven't been able to figure out. Brockport, I think they can do it. I don't think there's any issue there. It's not going to be easy. It's a much better team than we've seen. But I think they're going to be able to score in the first period tonight without our fans breathing down their necks in the Deb. Right. I think there's a little extra pressure taken off. And I think they'll be able to do it. I think the women will probably win by 3 or 4 goals against Potsdam. And it'll be a close game against Geneseo. I worry it's going to get away from them in the first period.
All right. I got the next one. I think in terms of men's hockey, they tie tonight in Brockport. And they beat Geneseo.
Wow. No losses on the weekend.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I think they come out with a 5 points out of the weekend, because if they tie, they lose the one. So no, 4
ties, 1 ties.
They'll get four out of the 6 points.
Yeah.
I think this Brockport team's good, but I think Brockport's also going to come. It's Friday night in Brockport, and what else is there to do with Brockport on a Friday night? So being from around the area, I could say that. But I really think Brockport at the end of the day is. They're a good team. Yes, they played weaker opponents, but they've had this date marked on their calendar. They know that they have to be Oswego, and I think it's going to be a tie for them. They're going to come out hot. And in terms of Geneseo, I think the student section shows up tomorrow night. I think the team shows up tomorrow night, and they take the momentum, whatever momentum it is from that tie, into Saturday night's game.
And the Potsdam game?
1-0. I think Oswego gets past. And the women's team, I think, at least gets past the hump that they're kind of battling right now. And I think they get back on track.
All right. Well.
Electric.
This is a tough one for me. I'm going to have to go with, as much as I hate saying it, I don't know if Oswego is going to get a win this weekend on the men's side. I think they go.
No, we are all over the place.
I think they go 0-2. Right?
Predictions are going to be a little different.
Predictions are going to be all over the place this weekend. Brockport, I think it's going to be a 2-goal game. And Geneseo, I think, like Brian said numerous times, it's going to be very competitive. And I think that's going to be a 2-goal game as well. On the women's end, I'm going to have to agree with all of you guys. Oswego's getting the job done against Potsdam. They're finally winning this game against the Bears. They have to win this game against the Bears. I hope and pray they do this game and they win this game. But, yeah, I go men 0-2 on the weekend. They're going to be very competitive. Don't get me wrong. I just think the chemistry isn't there yet, and I think it's still going to take a little bit of time to build. Women's hockey, they're going to find the back of that. They're going to beat Potsdam.
You're making a lot of enemies. I hope you know that.
I know. I know, but
I was trying to be the nice guy.
It could be it could be worse. You could give a shout out to Aaron Valentino, whose tweet got liked by Geneseo Knights, so that probably lives rent free in his head right now. But regardless,
they built a two-story Walmart in his head.
With
that tweet.
Two-story and a half.
Special guest picker, guest.
Well, thank you
on the show.
I'll start with Brockport tonight. I really, this is going to be a tough game. And I think Brockport comes away with a 1-0 victory.
1-0?
Not 1-0, one goal.
One goal.
Not 1-0, one goal. I do think the Lakers score in the first period, but I think they wind up losing the game late to Brockport. And I think it serves as a wake-up call for this team in terms of what's going on in Suniac, because that'll be their first Suniac loss. The women, I think, will take care of business tomorrow with a 4-2 victory. I think they'll outshoot Potsdam by quite a bit once again, and they'll get the job done. And I think with the wake-up call, I think they finally get over the hump.
No way! Okay.
So Brian's 1-1-1 for the men's. I am 1-0-1. Turgeon 0-2. Gross 1-1.
And that win throws everything back into consideration for
national.
Yeah.
National.
Do you have any details for the Jenny game? Brockport will be the number one team in the Suniac.
Any details from the Jenny game, though? Just a
win? Yeah, I think a one-goal game, and I think it's going to be decided in the last 5 minutes once again. I think back and forth throughout, and at the end of the day, my one. That's one.
Check it off.
Check it off, folks.
Check it off.
At the end of the day. If you're in a tight game with 5 minutes to go, you're giving yourself a chance, and I think this time they're going to take it.
I like it. I do. I know I picked the other way around,
right?
But I like it.
Yeah.
I still think they're going to go 1-1. Anywho,
1-1 competitively is a successful weekend. No matter.
The picks are very spread out this week. That's what I like to say.
I'd say so. All right, we're going to wrap things up here. For the Oswegonian Hockey Podcast, for Zach Case, Thomas Bubba Turgeon, our guest today, Brian Rudman. I'm Michael Gross saying so long and sail away.